The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday. That means it is a culture Thursday, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, we still got all of this talk about the crown, the queen, the future of the Bahamas, the republic. But most interesting in all of that for me is the question of what is a Bahamian? Who is a Bahamian? How do we define Bahamian, Bahamianness? How do we define it now? How did we define it in the past? And how will we define it in the future? One of the most important things, or I think most poignant things or profound things, our prime ministers, have ever said, but our Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Perry G. Christie, has said, in reference to the constitutional reform exercise and the call to include a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage, the Prime Minister said, we do not think that this is a decision for us to make for future Bahamians. Let me repeat that. He said, we do not think that this is a decision for us to make for future Bahamians. And that's perhaps the most poignant statement on governance in the Bahamas, right? Politics and governance. That this generation, that these generations that exist now recognize that they share this commonwealth with future Bahamians. Bahamians who haven't been born yet. Or even Bahamians who have been born but have no political or legal autonomy. We do not think this is a decision for us to make on their behalf. That's powerful. One of the most important statements. Our prime ministers don't really talk about it a lot. Governance, their ethos. What do they think is important? The principles by which the country should be governed. They don't talk about any of these things. Right? Now, every once in a while, you'll hear some, you know, the church is important. We have to turn to this. We have to get their opinion. The church is a central part of a country, of our country, and, you know, we're committed to God. We hear that rhetoric a lot, but we don't see it play out in policy. We don't see it play out in political culture. We don't see it play out in political life. And so I read in today's paper, article in today's Guardian, title is Government Drafts Marital Rape Bill. If you go on to page 6, there's a quote from former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram. I'm going to read from that article. It says, former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram explained last week that he had to withdraw the bill because he did not have the support of some members of the Free National Movement or the Progressive Liberal Party. PM Ingram explained last week that he had to withdraw the bill because he did not have the support of some members of the Free National Movement or the PLP. Quote, I assume that Davis will make a judgment as to whether or not he has the support of his members to pass it, he said. quote, "You know, many persons who you see parade around here as an ordinary, decent human being do not believe that marital rape ought to be a criminal offense, and in private, they have their views," close quote. That's a super, super strong statement. That's pounding it down. It's a super strong statement. And I place it on the table, not to make a judgment, but for us to reference, right, when we think about these things. What do we believe? What are the principles upon which the country is governed? What are the principles upon which we govern our communities, our families, and ourselves? Because when it's expedient, when we think it's appropriate, we entrench ourselves in Christian principle and doctrine. But when we look at the lived experiences of Bahamians, the question is that what we really believe? And so on this Culture Thursday today, there's a couple of things. I want to encourage new callers to call in. I want to encourage new callers to call in. And I have two questions, right? The questions are, what age are you? 18 to 25, 26 to 40, 41 to 55, 56 to 70, or 70 plus. And how do you define Bahamian? Right? How do you define Bahamian? I also have the How Bahamian Are You game show. See, I think that's a great way for us to have the discussion, right? Like, I think this is a great way for us to think about what it means to be a Bahamian, or how we define Bahamianness, right? What are the things that you could look at and say, oh yeah, when you see that, that's a Bahamian. And in that is, you know, how should we define what it means to be a Bahamian? In the conversation that I had this week with Cecil, I know that it appeared to be very controversial. I don't think it was very controversial at all, because I wasn't providing answers. I think that the most important thing is to sustain the conversation and to get as many voices and perspectives in as possible. You know, but in that conversation, we began to explore not just what it means to be a Bahamian, but what do other Bahamians, what do Bahamians feel? It's the criteria, right? Or are the criteria for being Bahamian? So I'm going to talk about some news items as well, the big things happening yesterday. And all of them sort of are connected, right? Like I told you all, I've said at least once why I don't necessarily focus on the exploits of the Coalition of Independence. But they had a protest outside of the House of Assembly yesterday, and I found it fascinating, because the Tribune, as the Tribune says, it appears that they were protesting a law that doesn't exist. Now, you know, fairly, they said that we are here to prevent the government from tabling and passing, like, quote unquote, in secret, a bill. But the government has said they don't want this, you know, we don't know what they're talking about, because the PLP administration has tabled no legislation to date to deal with nationality and citizenship. I have only seen one bill, I think it's called the Nationality, Citizenship, and Asylum Bill, that was released for consultation, I think, in 2018. So when the leader of the opposition came out and said that he stood with, you know, he's in support of the people who are out here protesting the current administration. I just paused and laughed. I just want to say, to remind the leader of the opposition, that unless there is a bill that the COI is talking about but refused to actually publish, you know, put out to the general public, like if there's a bill that was being passed around in secret and the Coalition of Independents got a copy of it, I would think that they would make that copy public. The only thing, the document I've seen them discussing is the Nationality, Immigration, and Asylum Bill 2018. But that bill was tabled under a Minnis administration. I think by a Minnis administration. So this thing seemed disingenuous right now. Because if there were another bill, leader of the Royal Opposition, you would publish it, right? You would make the Bahamian people aware of the thing that you are also concerned about, or you are concerned that other people are concerned about. I know how y'all like to play politics. Is there another draft bill in circulation? Because again, I reiterate, the only bill I've seen originated in an FNM administration. So there are two very interesting statements that have been circulated on WhatsApp and in the media. I haven't seen them in the formal media yet, but a government statement on the House of Assembly proceedings yesterday and an opposition statement on the House of Assembly proceedings yesterday. I just want to remind the leader of the opposition, while I hold no brief or briefcase or black dossier, I don't know where it is, but maybe it's with the Oban file. While I hold none of these things for COI, I do believe that they were protesting you as well. I do believe that it would be disingenuous of you to step forward and pretend as if it has nothing to do with you. What I found really interesting in that statement is it's a statement is from the Royal Opposition. Quote, it is possible, it says, Pintard believes it is possible to put Bahamians first and protect our rights without hurting any other group. Quote, it is possible to put Bahamians first and protect our rights without hurting any other group. Now, I would just like to say, I know it's possible because I'm one of the people who've been saying it repeatedly for the last 2 decades. That's it. The question is, do you really believe that? Because it doesn't appear that you believe it when your party is in power. And you're saying it, but you haven't done anything to materialize that reality or to suggest that the belief is real, even. But I draw attention to the COI protest, most importantly, because of this. No revolution will be won by vulnerabilizing, making vulnerable communities even more vulnerable. COI, you will not gain traction by making the Haitian community a target of hate. You're not going to use them as a distraction. You're not going to use them to build your personal or collective political or social credit. You've had over 2 years to delve into the issues and to generate and put into place substantive solutions for the people you seek to lead and govern. The only thing you're proving to us is that you know how to play politics the old way, while we continue to demand, despite the promises, in spite of the false facades and illusions, we demand a new dispensation, a new way of doing things. So I want to call to every right thinking, and then, you know, there's some rhetoric as well. But to everybody who thinks that they are a sovereign person with free will and self-determination in this country, that when you hear any political agent, politician, using a vulnerable community to generate political and social credit, that you shut it down. At Lincoln Bain, we're not going to tolerate it. So don't you ever get up again and say foolishness like, quote, Davis, you're going to be the last Haitian prime minister. The people of the Bahamas deserve better. They deserve leaders that will not use their genuine fears, insecurities as fodder for political talking points. Now, yes, we have a migrant crisis. It is not a problem that one Bahamian or one migrant alone can solve. It is not a problem that a family can solve on its own. It's not a problem that a community can solve on its own. And what we have found over the last 40 to 50 to 60 years is that it is not a problem that nations can solve on their own either. So in this time of crisis, we will not use the suffering of others to our own advantage. You see, what I was taught to be a Bahamian is that when you have power, you use it wisely and with empathy, not recklessly. When you have power and privilege, you help people. You don't play people for your own personal gain. That's how I was taught what a Bahamian is. And that's how you could recognize a Bahamian wherever you go in the world. Because if they have it, they're going to help somebody. And I see I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A pleasant good morning.
Good morning,
a pleasant, good morning,
how
Ms. Green. A pleasant good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How you do? You come to answer the question this morning?
Yes, if I could, my synopsis, what I think is a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, God bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas and our visitors,
mm-hmm.
the legal and the illegal ones. God mm-hmm. bless everybody today. It is a new day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we wake up, it's a new day. After 12 midnight, it's a new day.
Mm-hmm.
By law and by nature. But I would say, I was born May the 4th, 1951. Not in Nassau, but in the island of New Providence in Chippenham.
Mm-hmm.
The only member of the family that actually was not born in the hospital, I was born at home, in
okay.
my mother's home.
Okay.
My grandmother and grandfather on both sides were born as British subjects in the Bahama Islands at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Passing it down to me, I was born in 1951, meaning that I was born a British subject.
Yep.
July the 10th, 1973,
uh-huh.
those of a born British subject living in the Bahamas at the time had the option to maintain their British passport or come over to be a Bahamian and get their Bahamian passport.
Yeah.
I got my Bahamian passport. At that time, 10th, 1970, I became a legalized Bahamian.
Right.
And I gave up my British my British citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Our Constitution tells us who are Bahamians.
Okay.
Bahamians are citizens of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that was born in the Bahamas to Bahamian parents.
Okay.
Those born in the Bahamas, the foreign parents are not Bahamians.
Okay.
They have the right to be born here of illegal parents, but at the age of 18, they could apply to get Bahamian citizenship. Apply. It's not automatic.
Now, you know,
they will be given that by the cabinet.
You know, let me make a point. You know that even constitutional lawyers debate that point, right? Let's go mm-hmm. forward.
You said debate that point.
They debate it.
Okay, they still debating it then. Have they come to a conclusion yet as to what it is?
I mean, I think many of us have, and that's what the concern is. But it's a good point.
No, you're just saying you think. But
no, I know they're debating it.
No, no, you know they're debating it, but have they come to the conclusion as to what abandonment is?
No, no one has come to a conclusion.
All right, so we still up in air as to what abandonment. Yes. We know that somebody born here of illegal parents is not abandoned.
We don't know that.
Have the right to, well, if you didn't know that, why would they have the right by constitution to apply at the age of 18? Get something if you don't have it, eh?
No, 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 no. What they're saying is that you have it, but until you reach majority, right, until you reach adulthood, we're not going to let you make the decision of whether you want to give one up and keep the other.
Yeah, but they said, they also said that the cabinet was, whether they pass the abandonment citizenship, residency, will commit onto you.
See, and that's in the debate as well, whether the cabinet have the power to do all of that.
But what I'm saying, as I know, I am a bear. I have nowhere to go. I was not born anywhere else.
Right.
You have other people have other domiciles that they can go back to.
Right. True.
But I can't go nowhere else. I can't. I cannot go past the immigration line at the airport to Florida unless the man tells me, the immigration officer, see that yellow line? Do not pass over that until I stamp you. Then you pass over that, you're actually in America.
Absolutely. But Sparky, I got to go. But I want to thank you, because within all of that, excellent points.
Yeah, but we got to stop playing with this thing. Before we know it, we're going to have a doggone citizenship. I mean, a population, a million people in this country, and only 400,000 could be Bahamians.
But
and we could be non-Bahamian anymore.
I don't think that's possible. Sparky, I don't think that's possible. And I think that's fear-mongering. I mean, I really do. And I hear the see the spaces that that's coming out of. I really do believe that that's fear-mongering. Here's another reason why I believe, because we only talk about Haitian migrants. We don't ever talk about the multitude of other people who openly declare that they won't be Bahamian. There's another set, I don't know, as maybe they don't openly declare that they don't want to be a Bahamian, but they openly declare the rights to be here. Despite what their nationality says. All right, I got to get to some. The bill was tabled. That's a good thing. We should not trust any person purporting to be a leader who wants to suppress public discussions on any past. It's open for public discussion prior to parliamentary discussion. Let's not be fooled by these disingenuous, opportunistic persons purporting to stand up for Bahamians to divide us further. Another text. Good morning, Ms. Green. Should one not protest a proposed bill echoed by the Attorney General? The Attorney General is a constitutional post who holds weight. People ain't stupid out here. No, no, I'm not saying that you shouldn't protest a proposed bill, but why are you protesting a bill that the former administration raised is no longer on the table and no such bill exists? And if a bill exists, see, I with you, Texter, if the bill exists, if there's a new iteration of the bill, right? Because if it was about to be tabled, it would say 2022 bill, da-da-da-da, right? If there is a new bill, why won't the COI and the people who believe there's a new bill publish it? They publish a whole bunch of stuff. They put a whole bunch of stuff in the public domain. But if there is a bill, publish it. You see what I'm saying? And then let's talk about it. But every conversation I've followed, they are referencing the 2018 bill that was produced under the Minnis administration. But I agree with you, the public discussion. Text there, Africa Redemption calls for African unity. Africa and Africans must find a way to unite. Absolutely. And it's a shame that we have not collectively taken advantage of the space created by the International Decade for People of African Descent. It's a shame that our political directive did not take the lead and facilitate that. And I know what you're going to say, Aaron, the government can't do everything. No, they can't do everything, I agree with you, but they are the things that they are supposed to do that they're not doing. There are other countries, their international decade committees and their reparations committees, I think it's international decade committee, they get funding through the government. They get funding to do things. But we have a prime minister who right now, days after the death of the Queen, is telling us he don't know if the timing is right to have a referendum. Dear Sir King Brave Davis, you know, if y'all had let the former Prime Minister Christie be in charge of the reading of the proclamation, then you wouldn't have had to do it. And then you could have just said, well, listen, it was bad planning. We forget the former Prime Minister is always late. We're going to have to do it again on Thursday. And then you just forget to do it like you always forget to do a whole bunch of stuff. And then we wouldn't have had to proclaim our allegiance to the King at all. And you wouldn't have to been embarrassed. I mean, not any more embarrassed than you already prepared to be. Right? Another text. Aaron, how are you telling Mr. Bain, don't stand for Bahamians' plights. We don't bash you when you stand in for queer and illegal immigrant and illegal migrants' rights. Well, first of all, people do bash me for that. Second of all, I didn't tell Mr. Bain, don't stand for Bahamian rights or plights. What I'm saying is stand more for plights and less for what appears to be your rights, what you presume to be your right to power. You don't have to be in power to provide solutions to these issues. See, that's the same game that the existing political culture plays with us all the time, the FNM. I mean, in fact, we have it in the papers today, or yesterday, with the leader of the opposition talking about, I think, one of these bills, or we haven't decided how we're going to do it yet. Y'all had a whole 4.5 years that you told us you were thinking about it. So you're telling me now that you're the leader of the FNM, you have to go through the whole process again? You don't have to be in government, opposition, or the administration to provide housing strategies or solutions for people that are larger than we're going to support you maintaining the land that you're already squatting on. If the COI, in all of these machinations, had come up with a temporary housing program for Bahamians using private partnership and public resources where they are available to house families and young people, you don't need to be in government to do the things that the COI and others are demanding that the government do. The same way I didn't need to be in government to get the Attorney General's office's representative to say to CEDAW that, yes, LGBTI people do have protections wherever there are protections from sex-based discrimination. We are so desperate for a savior that we're willing to throw our children into the wind. Got to be more responsible. Got to be more intentional and focused. Another text. Aaron Green, if we become a republic, who will fight our war if we end up in one? We don't have a real military. Another text. Aaron, what is so sad and funny at the same time is I know some of the people on the march whose parents are from Haiti and some who are here illegally now. Amazing. Another text. In fact, producer, let's go to the calls. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Critical thinker.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just a quick question. On the referendum, right,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that has been advocated for that has to be done, and I think Mr. Philip Davis, if he wants to really give freedom to express themselves, the human freedom to express themselves,
mm-hmm.
would go and immediately revisit the referendum law. The Constitution laid out the groundwork for a constitutional referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Perry Glasson Christie created a supposedly a referendum law for non-binding referendum, but he did not go far enough to allow a referendum to come from the people.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what happens is whenever people want to have a referendum, then they could set up the rules for what it takes to get it onto the ballot, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. they have to depend on the government deciding the referendum, the government deciding how it's said, the government deciding what is going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Just so if I want a constitutional referendum, I could go and spend my resources to invoke what I consider one, and when I meet the threshold, then I would be allowed to go on the ballot to have
yes.
it done. So I think if you want to give power to the people, just go into Parliament and change that particular law. Now, let's go back to the citizenship bill.
Mm-hmm.
Sparky was, I don't know if he wanted to go in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest error that I've seen for the whole referendum debate concerning the citizenship, and I've said this over and over again,
yeah.
I want someone to show me where in the Constitution a woman passes her citizenship to her child.
Right.
Can I let you go?
Because my reading of it is that what we were petitioning for is to have the state convey citizenship to my child go on.
Yeah, but the Constitution doesn't do that now.
Okay.
I want you to see, neither me as a male or me or you as a female, the Constitution sets the requirements. It don't know where it says, upon Erin Green giving birth, she hereby conveys citizenship to her child because she's not married.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say that. It says, for consideration to be registered as a citizen, these are the requirements you must meet. Those are requirements. It doesn't say I give my wife anything if I marry a foreign woman.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. So for this debate, for us to say women, men have a right to give something, and women have a right to give something, that doesn't happen in the Constitution. So why are we even having that conversation?
Is it fair to say I have a right for the state to convey citizenship, or the child has a right for citizenship to be conveyed because they meet the criteria?
The child has a right to citizenship because they meet the criteria.
I got you.
Now, here's the difference, though.
Yeah.
And this is the argument that the PLP is now making.
Uh-huh.
We don't need a referendum to change this because one is enshrined and one is not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've even heard Casey's former QC say, well, a government could come behind and change it and retroactively take something back. Guess what? Anything that's not enshrined in the Constitution could be retroactively taken back.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have 100% of any laws in the Constitution that's enshrined in the Constitution. So it becomes a red herring.
Yeah.
What I'm simply saying is, you have an enshrined law and a non-enshrined law, right?
Yeah.
And so essentially, as long as the law being created is not ultra vires to what the Constitution has enshrined,
mm-hmm.
then there's no argument. Today you said that a person can apply for citizenship. That isn't enshrined in the Constitution, but that's enshrined in immigration law.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the conflict?
Well, remember, it's until it is shown to be in violation of the Constitution, right? So
right.
It could be in violation, but until you push it to the courts and ask the court to rule whether it's in violation, it will stand as good law.
Right.
But
just going back on the Constitution, one of the things that we should do before we have any conversation on this whole Constitution issue
uh-huh.
is have the government decide whether it will pursue objecting to the ruling of the learned judge who said that the interpretation is of male, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they're not going to pursue it, it becomes complete.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are going to pursue it, then we should wait and let the Privy Council decide.
Yeah.
Because that changes the whole dynamics from the male perspective, retroactively to when the Constitution started. And so for us to just muddy this water in creating a law which will solve literally 50% of almost 50% of the issues, then we could simply look at just simply having a regular law for our citizenship, because, again, even where the Constitution says if you meet these qualifications, it says
mm-hmm.
your qualifications are subject to public policy and whatever else it says. It doesn't give anything automatically. It tells you this is where you meet this requirement. Because let me ask you a question. Does the baby come out with a birth certificate?
No.
Or a citizenship certificate?
No.
Okay, an application has to be made once the person can show they meet these requirements. I don't know why.
I feel you. I hear you.
Yeah, and as I'm going, but I'm simply saying
yeah.
that we need so badly a class in civics, not just for the ones in schools, you know, for the ones that's out of school.
Oh, yeah,
school,
because to have the...
Social media.
have the conversation as an adult. You needed to have had the conversation as a child.
Right.
Right, you need to be prepared.
But I'm saying don't let these five-year celebrities, because remember, if they didn't know before they get in, swearing allegiance to the Queen didn't make them know then. So I'm simply saying that they'll go in ignorant, they'll come out ignorant, and if you allow them to lead you in their ignorance, you too will be ignorant.
Absolutely. Thank you, C. Allen Johnson. Producer, let's go to a break with Look What You Get When You're Tired of What You Got by Gino D. and Ira Storr. This is also a dissertation on local political culture. Look what you get when you're tired of what you got. We got this music to help drive us through this journey, you know. Bahamian music ain't all just about raking in and scraping in. And even when it is, got some powerful lessons in it. Gino D. and Ira Storr. You tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Everybody's out there on the dock. They're doing what we call Bahama Rock. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and I guess it's a Culture Thursday, and we're having another hot conversation. Yeah, that song, Bahama Rock, producer. You ever try follow a beautiful woman through Junkanoo? You ever try catch up with her and see where she going? Difficult, right? That's just like following Bahamian politics. It's just like a Saturday night in Nas. It's just difficult like that. You got to pay attention. You got to try leash them. You can't do that to real, actual humans, though. Only to people whose identity is centered around politics. Because they'll lead you anywhere. They'll lead you anywhere. That was Bahama Rock by Ronnie Butler. That is one of my most favorite Bahamian songs. All right, I see we got a caller, on the line. Caller, you on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing great, man, and I love this conversation. I actually went on Guardian Radio with Luby George on this issue many years ago. And I think it was 2014 because I left the show and I went to see the Haitian ambassador. We had a nice chat. And I read the Constitution. A lot of things in there that are astounding. Article 71 says the executive authority of this country is vested in Her Majesty the Queen. And vested means to bestow land and power. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why we call it crown land and not people's land. But let's move on. I like the part on immigration. It said that you, any individual, not you, but any individual, shall not be eligible to become a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas if at the time of application they are the citizen of some other country. Paragraph 2.
Okay.
Section 9. And I love it. Watch this. It says you must renounce. You must give up that citizenship. Swear away from it and swear to ours. But what astounded me is that there are a few countries in the world that do not recognize you swearing away from them, probably for reasons of taxation. I'm not sure if it's France. Yes, if you're a he told me in 2014, if you're a married woman, single woman, divorced woman, whatever woman, anywhere in the world having a baby, that Haiti recognized the child as a citizen. Please come and get your documents, he said. I said, wow. So if you are a citizen, I'm not picking on, but since our country has the most people coming from a particular island, that's probably why. If the people were coming from Canada, we'd be talking about the white people, them coming down.
But I mean, they come in, you know, we just don't talk about
them. They are. I'd love to do a show with you and tell you how they come in. They come in and they doing construction way back when big hotels were doing, and they stayed for 30 years.
They come in, they here.
Back to this.
Yeah.
So if I'm a citizen of Canada or Haiti, Haiti being one of the countries that does not recognize its citizens, saying, I don't want to be Haitian no more, because they want to tax you wherever you are in the world. So if I cannot give up that citizenship, but I put my hand on the Bible and I swear to this country does not recognize dual citizenship, especially with a non-Commonwealth country. So if we really dig into this thing, every passport that's been given out,
I got you, Graham.
I'm not hating. I'm just showing you.
No, it's an interesting point that requires interrogation. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
You can't be a dual citizen. I'm going to leave you on this one. Please, if anybody of Haitian descent, I am of Canadian descent. If anyone is of any other descent, do not say that country first. I don't go all over the Bahamas saying I'm a Canadian Bahamian and you better eat Canadian bacon and not regular bacon.
It's not them who say it. It's us who say it.
I know.
It's us who make the distinction to separate us from them.
I know that. I know that. And I'm speaking to everybody. Please, don't say I am a Canadian Bahamian, a German Bahamian, a Haitian Bahamian. Say I'm a Bahamian. Because Sigmund Freud said, if you put that other country first in your speech, then you recognize that country
first, you have
loyalty
in your
to
mind.
That first.
I got you,
so
Graham.
Read that Constitution. I sent it to you, Aaron. We'll never teach the Constitution in school. You have a good one.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much. We are almost all out of time, but let me make this point. Graham is correct. The Haitian Constitution says, look here, if you are born to Haitian parents born in Haiti, then use Haitian, no matter what your circumstances, right? But if you were born to that person who was granted Haitian citizenship by virtue of the fact that their parents were born in Haiti, it's not quite as clear. Listen, I have got a ton of texts here, Texas. I am going to get to your texts. Here we go. Hi, Aaron. All politicians in the Bahamas do that. They do nothing when in power, and when not in power, they tell the current government to do what they should have. As far as being a Bahamian, children had no choice of being a British or Bahamian citizen. The parents made that decision. That's something, hey, that's an interesting point as well. People, I decided. You didn't decide that in many instances, your parents decided. A Bahamian has a singular loyalty based on nationhood, shared culture, and genetic affiliation. There is no dual allegiances for a Bahamian aside from allegiance to God. A hyphenated Bahamian might be a Bahamian by law, but they are residents. They are not citizens. Texter, that's a mouthful that requires interrogation. Wow. I don't know. I mean, nationhood is a political construct. Country and nation are slightly different, but I like cultural affiliation. I'm not sure about genetic. This is interesting text. Thank you, Texter. Another text. I'm sorry, 56106. The text was too large. Another text. Aaron, the FNM is... Ah. This text is suggesting that Mr. Bain is being used as a distraction by the FNM. He's saying he did the same thing in 2017. But this time the PLP is not sitting by and not addressing it. Okay, Texter. Another text. I agree with you that one does not have to be in leadership to present solutions and that Mr. Bain is playing old dirty politics. It's a dangerous game. It's for me, it's you have to ask yourself a question as a leader. Am I leading the people that I am leading? Am I going to leave them in a better situation or a worse situation, right? Am I taking advantage of these people? And see, in the paper is another wonderful article. I mean, we could talk about it, talking about the draft consultation bill. And there's a whole section in there on consent, defining what consent is. This is very important that it is recognized explicitly in law, you know, because the question is has Mr. Bain gotten the fully informed consent of the members of what he is leading them into? And these are the things that leaders, that's why we, even Prime Minister say we're going to need some day, you're going to need to stop critiquing the crown for a moment because we're still in condolences. That's why we need real, real critique of the crown and the legacy, because to be a leader is an awesome thing. Another quick text. Hi, Aaron. This is a Christian nation and will always be a Christian nation, whether you want to convince yourself otherwise. I don't have to convince myself of anything. The preamble to my constitution is very, very clear. The entire concept of Christianity, and that was me, that little part there. The entire concept of Christianity isn't about being perfect, so people like you can say this isn't a Christian nation, but Christianity involves striving toward Christian values. Your gay agenda is not about Christian values. The Bahamas strives. I want you all, I know y'all can't see this text, right? But in this text, the texter makes a point to write Christian values with a capital C and a capital V. But when you go to the preamble of the Constitution, right, and you read the first paragraph and you read the second paragraph, you'll notice that Christian values has a lowercase v and spiritual values, I think, has an uppercase V. And, you know, like all the constitutional lawyers like to tell us, everything in the Constitution is put in its place for a specific purpose. Yeah. It's also interesting how you are intolerant of those who do not believe that Haitians and other illegals should migrate to the Bahamas. I'm intolerant of people who call other people illegal. I can declare that. I am intolerant of people who call other people illegal. See, because in the same conversation with the crown, for many, many years, for many, many decades, for hundreds of years, as far as the crown was concerned, you, dear black people, people of African descent, you were illegal. You did not exist. They say three-fifths of a human, right? Black people, three-fifths of human. What they meant is you only get like three-fifths of the rights that the other regular humans get. Yeah, man. That's why we cannot tolerate describing or defining any human as illegal. Another text, just quickly. Aaron, what would happen to me if I go to Haiti and try to claim land there for free or with money? By the way, we don't want FNM or PLP, no more, none. I don't know. Don't go to Haiti and try to claim land there for free or with money. Don't. Right? What I'm saying is there's a lopsided perspective to it. There's a lopsided perspective to it. We have far less concern when foreigners of a different hue and a different wallet come in and start acquiring land through not clear means. In fact, we did away with the whole Immovable Properties Act. Ain't nobody say nothing. But we ready to go to war with other poor people. I do believe that we have been deceived. Anyway, I wanted this to be a day of playing loan music and to play the How Bahamian Are You game. Maybe next week I wanted to ask you all questions like coat suit or linen suit, switcher or coconut water, baggie or cup, coleslaw or potato salad, rounders or porking. I feel like this is the real way to define, to figure out who is a Bahamian or who is not. Because as soon as I say Johnny Cake and you say Johnny Bread, I'm going to say something has gone to your head. You cannot be a real Bahamian. I kid. It's not my decision to make, neither is it yours. Anyway, I'm all out of time. Thank you, producer. Play one of them songs to take us to Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio in the AM. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Boys, get in the back of the truck, drive to get home, pick up the truck, do some scrubbing, break the street.